everybody. This is Ryan with Product Hunt Radio, and I've not done one of these in a long time, so sorry if I'm a little rusty, but I'm here alone in San Francisco, but I have a few friends with me across the world. We have Eric, of course. What's up, Eric?
What's up?
Where are you?
New York.
Nice, nice. How is it over there?
It is beautiful. It is not yet cold, but I know it's going to be cold soon, and so I'm going to come back to San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we had rain yesterday in San Francisco, which is always a bummer. But we have good weather overall, so I can't really complain. But then we have Nick as well. Welcome, Nick.
Hi. How you doing?
How's it going? So this is your first time on our podcast, but we'll call you right now the podcast genius. I don't know if you ever call yourself that, but maybe do you want to describe yourself? Who are you? What do you do?
Hi. Well, I'm here to talk to you guys about podcasts, clearly, because this is, I believe, the podcast episode of Product Hunt. I'm Nick Hua. I do two things principally. Firstly, I'm the head of audience development at Panoply, which is Slate's new podcasting company. And secondly, I write a weekly newsletter and Neiman Lab column called Hot Pod, which is about the podcasting industry.
Yeah, I actually, Sonal from Andreessen Horowitz told me about Hot Pod, and I subscribed a few months back. And first off, there's very few newsletters or even like content sites about podcasting. And so I subscribed, and it's one of the more detailed, analytical, thoughtful newsletters on this category and this topic for sure. How did you start
by the way?
How did you begin?
I tried my best. Wow, that's there's a pretty side to the story, and there's a not so pretty side to the story. Let's keep it ugly. So back in November, back in like the fall winter of 2014, I was working a job that I didn't really like. I was a sort of a business reporter at a digital media company that, you know, I kind of shouldn't say out loud when I'm, you know, given the context of how I'm talking about this. And I was like kind of super bored, and it was around the same time that Serial became a massive thing. And I kind of looked around, I was reading on the internet, and I got the sense that the reporting on podcasting and the on-demand audio industry is close to non-existent, and B, that everybody who attempted to sort of articulate the culture of podcasting has so far either gotten it sort of like either inconclusive or non-representative. And I just kind of felt like I, with my sort of distinct interest in the space, I've been a big fan of podcasts for a long time. I felt like there was a hole that I could fill, and I just decided to see what I could do with it. But really, the flip side of that is that was kind of the story that I tell now when I look back at it. Really, what really happened was that a lot of people knew that I was a big podcast nerd, so they started emailing me about more podcast recommendations, asking me what the hell's going on with podcasting. And so I wrote enough of these emails to kind of think, I might as well just make this into like a newsletter, because people keep consistently asking me for questions. And that's basically how Hot Pod was born. It was both a thing that I sort of saw as a hole in the market, but it's also something that was responding to in my daily life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Product Hunt, fun fact, actually started as a newsletter as well in the very beginning. So I know I can empathize with kind of that beginning kind of process to an extent. And I really want to get some recommendations from you, some podcast recommendations. But first, I want to introduce Alex. Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going? How's it in North Carolina?
It's good. It's good. Enjoying the last bit of the summer weather. Not looking forward to winter.
Nice, nice. So for everyone else, Alex joined, was it 5-6 weeks ago maybe?
Pretty recently,
Yeah, so pretty recently. And we have some announcements to make today. Maybe Alex, you can make the announcement.
Awesome, yeah. So I'll intro myself and then just make the announcement. So I used to be a consultant, and sort of like Nick, I wasn't totally satisfied doing that, and I nerded out on podcasts because I was always commuting. And so a few years ago, I decided to try to make a social podcast app, and so I've been really deep in the space ever since. And then I got contacted by Eric because Product Hunt decided that they want to open up a new category, and they want to do podcasts. So I've joined the team, and I'll be heading up the podcast category, but that is the new and exciting news. And now you can, it's really exciting because now you can not only post podcast episodes, but you can upvote them, discuss them, and you can also listen on the website itself. So, I think a major problem in the podcast space has always been discovery and sort of being able to tap into what other people like and sort of get the social proof around them. And I think this is going to be a great first step in being able to enhance that in a meaningful way. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, Radu on the team has been working on the podcast player so that, yeah, you can listen to podcasts on the website itself. And for me personally, I've been listening to podcasts, a few in particular, for years. And I love podcasts, listen to it at the gym, when traveling, walking. And so since Nick's here, and you and Alex, you as well, what are some of your favorite podcasts? Maybe Nick, do you want to go first?
Oh man, this is kind of like picking the favorite of your children, and it's also kind of complicated because like I'm sort of embedded in the community, and but I know I'm gonna screw this up by missing out some, but I'm just gonna give like four and then just cap it for there so that everybody else can just like, you know, back off. I'm always gonna stump for Longform, which I think is one of the finest independent podcasts that exists in the market right now.
Yes,
it's a podcast that involves interviews with. It started out with interviews with magazine journalists and sort of evolved into becoming interviews with reporters, people who identify as journalists and sort of, you know, quote unquote content creators these days. It's really, really wonderfully done, tightly edited, and it's such sweet, thoughtful interviewing. And I kind of think like, I think the world of that team. I think it's an amazing podcast. The second podcast I want to stump for is Criminal out of the Radiotopia network. That is, you know, I think everybody already probably has heard of Criminal. It's one of the more popular podcasts. It consistently ranks quite highly in the iTunes charts. But there is no other, you know, narrative podcast that's doing the very sociologically and anthropologically intelligent work that they're doing. They tell such a good story. They investigate stories so nicely and so comprehensively. And it's a fantastic piece of media. I also want to highlight this new sort of podcast that's been bubbling up recently. It's called Limetown. It's an audio fiction podcast that many have described as sort of Serial meets X-Files. And it's only in the second episode, and it's, I think, something to watch out for. I think there's a lot of ideas here that lay down the foundation of how audio fiction is going to be like over the next 10, 20 years. And finally, I want to sort of highlight the Vulture TV podcast. I'm a huge consumer of pop culture podcasts in general. I think Vulture is one of the finest podcasts discussing television. And I'm not so sure if you guys have noticed, we're in kind of like the quote-unquote golden age of television right now. And I really, really enjoy that show.
Nice. I've not heard of a couple of those, actually. Well, I'll get to mine later. But Alex, what's on your top list?
Sure. So one podcast that I discovered while I was actually at the Podcast Movement Conference in Texas about a month ago was something called Millennial. I think that it sort of spiked to the top of the iTunes charts at one point as well. But it's this serialized show, so you have to like start on the first episode, about a millennial and kind of her life story. She was an audio intern and then graduated from undergrad and sort of was just very authentically documenting the post college, you know, struggles of like growing up and finding a job. I really liked its authenticity. I thought it was very relatable and very well done. There's a bunch of shows that I follow. I really like Sam Harris's podcast. I believe it's called Waking Up. If you just really like to get into like deep philosophical conversations, it's probably not for everybody. And let's see here. Like I find that I'm subscribed to like 80 podcasts, and I think Nick probably, I don't know, but I would assume maybe he's subscribed to more. It's really hard, I think, to stay abreast of everything that's going on. And I find that like I'll just pick and choose episodes from various shows. One episode recently that I really loved was Sir Patrick Stewart on the Nerdist podcast. It was just a great episode. I mean, I'm like a huge Star Trek: The Next Generation unapologetic fanboy, but just he's just really hilarious. So I highly recommend that episode.
Nice. Eric, what are you listening to?
So I also got a stump for Longform. Huge fan of those guys and listen to almost everything they put out. They just released the Browns podcast, which you just wrote about. And that's super exciting and interesting to see how that will, you know, what that will mean for the podcast world too, if more kind of brands and companies will begin to do this as well. Because you wouldn't think that, you know, the Cleveland Browns would have their own podcast. and in the way that it's done. But otherwise, I really like Call Your Girlfriend, Ann Friedman's.
Ah, good show.
Yeah,
good show.
Ann Friedman's podcast. I like the Gimlet Guys. Reply All is a staple. I love that one. I got into Sex Nerd Sandra recently, and I've been digging that. Death, Sex, and Money, and Marc Maron are some of my favorites.
We have really similar tastes.
I'm glad.
You guys are opening me up to a lot of new podcasts that I haven't listened to yet. And for me, I listen to the same ones over and over. And so that's why I'm really excited to explore some new ones. But I've been listening to This Week in Startups with Jason Calacanis since literally episode number one. I love his interviews. I love his style. He's super entertaining. He has great guests. And then, you know, Startup by Gimlet is also one of my kind of relatively new favorites. Have you guys been listening to that?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. I just love the way that they make it super intimate, and they include actual conversations, real life conversations and narrative mixed in with some like produced narrative. It just comes together really well. It's fantastic storytelling. And even season two is great too. Talking about the dating startup and everything. One of my also newer ones that I'm loving also by Gimlet is Mystery Show. Have you guys been listening to that?
I haven't heard it yet.
So yeah, the Mystery Show, it's super unique. It's really all about mundane mysteries. And so the one episode that I particularly like is all about Jake Gyllenhaal. And this person's trying to find out how tall is Jake Gyllenhaal. And there's forums on the internet of people talking about this subject. It's super, does it really matter how tall he is? No. But the internet wants to know, and the whole show is about that. And so the host even goes as far as talking to Jake Gyllenhaal and interviewing over the phone. And it's funny. It's interesting. It's super different. So that's a big favorite of mine. One of my more recent favorites. And then I'm listening to Freakonomics still, and still waiting for Serial season two to come up, which that's coming pretty soon, isn't it?
Rumor has it. Yeah.
And I believe it might be not just season two, but I think they're concurrently working on seasons two and three.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's exciting. Where do you guys find podcasts today?
Nick, do you want to take that first?
Sure. So I have kind of an unrepresentative method of discovering podcasts, because I think for me, discovering new sounds is incredibly it's kind of part of my day job. It's kind of part of what I do on a daily basis. So I really do literally scour through the iTunes charts. I have a sort of a routine whereby every week I go really deep into the charts. I really go deep into the listings, and I pick out four or five shows I've never seen before, I've never heard before. And then I pick one or two episodes from it, and I attach it to part of my sort of, you know, commute for the coming week to work and back from work. But usually I rely on the iTunes front page, which seems to be the main dominant gatekeeper for discovery in podcasting, and also through personal recommendations. My friends share things with me. I get emails about shows. I see things off Twitter. But also, I think I've realized now my behavior is in that I learn more about podcasts that I tend to like by hearing them on other podcasts, by hearing podcast hosts be guests on other shows. That's sort of my three main ways of discovery personally right now.
For me, I do, this is Alex, I do something a little bit similar. So I definitely try to like check out the new and noteworthy podcasts on iTunes. I'm probably not as diligent about it as Nick is, but some of it's word of mouth for me. A lot of it is probably Twitter. I follow a lot of different people, and I'm just constantly finding out about new podcasts. Sometimes they'll be, you know, people will be talking about them on Twitter before they're even approved by iTunes. So that's what I do. And also like Hot Pod, I can't recommend Hot Pod enough. I think it's just a fabulous newsletter. It's the single best way I know of to sort of keep track on what's going on. And then it's a little bit in my podcast app as well. We have some like minimal trending features. So sometimes I'll see sort of episodes I didn't know about. And I think that actually sort of focusing on the episode level versus the show level is an important distinction. So, for example, you know, like it's relatively easier, I think, to find out about new shows, but it's harder to know sort of where to dive in unless the show itself is serialized, which is not typically the norm. So, for example, like for the Mystery Show we were just talking about, like I tried the first episode and I wasn't really taken with it, and I haven't gone back to it yet, but I've heard what Ryan was saying from a bunch of different people that it's amazing. So if I had known in the beginning to maybe try a different episode, you know, maybe I would be hooked. And I think that this is actually maybe where the future of podcast discovery is going, is less about shows and more about individual episodes, in the same way that perhaps, you know, the way that we discover and read articles is less about directly checking BuzzFeed and more about seeing what individual articles sort of propagate or get upvoted across social networks.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other piece of that, and obviously this is kind of the bet that we're taking as we're expanding the podcast, is there's also this opportunity to talk about each episode. So you can talk about an entire show, but it's more interesting and very specific to talk about a particular episode. Like if you watch that Jake Gyllenhaal Mystery Show episode, like we'd have something to talk about. Or if he watched episode number 4 of Serial, like that's now a moment where you're like, geeking out about it with other people. So on Product Hunt, what we'll have is episode discovery. So you'll be able to find not only shows, but individual episodes of podcasts that then you can talk about with hopefully the hosts themselves or the guests, but other people in the community.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting that you guys are focusing on the episode level. I've been thinking quite a lot about that ever since we spoke over the phone about it. It's kind of like it's sort of related to the sort of larger question I've been wondering about social audio sharing in general, sort of the way you would excerpt a clip from an episode and put it on Twitter or Facebook and how that behaves and relates to the original piece of text, or in this case, audio. I think my sense is that it'll work for some shows and not for others. I also think that the way a show is promoted, like not all episodes are, you know, equal in the sense of their representativeness, but as a mode of an access point to flatten that in the face of a user, I think that is a really compelling way of just opening up the space and reconstructing how we talk about discovery. So I'm pretty excited for like whatever the channel that you guys are producing, whatever it turns out, and how that affects a certain set of user expectations. That's exciting. I don't know. I'm kind of jazzed for it. Just looking forward to see this private beta whenever it goes live.
I totally agree. And then I guess two episodes ago of Hot Pod, you were sort of talking about the one-shot app and the sort of phenomena of like screenshotting text and posting it to Twitter as a way to like get past the 140 character limit, but also sort of provide more context for people to have a reason to click through to an article and read it. If I'm characterizing that correctly. And sort of tying that back into like should that be a viable way to share audio on other platforms? And I think maybe not, which I think is the conclusion that you came to. I think I agree. And I think for me the reason is that if you're going to have podcast discovery, I think it's much more helpful to do it in a setting that is like dedicated to podcasts. So I think, for example, like on Product Hunt, you know, where you have a whole channel dedicated to podcasts, and that's sort of like everything you're looking at are podcast episodes. I think that's helpful. I think when you're on like Twitter and Facebook, you can learn about other shows or other episodes, but because it's not only dedicated to that and you're looking at tweets and cat pictures and everything's moving a million miles a minute, I think it's very hard to remember or to make that meaningful.
Yeah, or goats. I got to plug this, but everything goats, the Twitter account, is fantastic. Goat gifs, goat pics, it's amazing.
It's good to have a really consistent content strategy around goats. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we should expand a goat channel, goat vertical. So actually, why audio is such an interesting medium, and there's been talk about, you know, is audio viral? Can it go viral? And it's a lot different than text, in which you can quickly scan it, you can consume it anywhere. Audio is such a challenging medium to share, and I think that's one of the reasons why podcasts has been, you know, it's been around for a long time, and it's been sort of a relatively niche kind of enthusiast medium for the most part. Is it partly because audio is just a difficult thing to share relative to articles and text, or why is that?
You see, that is such like, the question of virality is always something that I've been a bit mystified by, because I think when something goes viral, there's an element of context that's inherently stripped away from it, right? Like a 20-second video clip is more likely to go viral rather than the larger 2, 5, 50-minute situation from which that thing is drawn from. I also think there's like a bigger cognitive load when you kind of interact and experience audio. At least the question for me when I'm trying to sort of categorize this in my head is that let's assume that there's a spectrum of the way that we as human beings intake media, right? On one hand, you have, you know, haikus or like 1-2 one-liners or a tweet, basically 140 characters. And the way that you interact with that, it is essentially snackable. You sort of internalize it really, really quickly, and then you move on to the next thing, right? On the other end of the spectrum, you have something like, I don't know, movies, in which there is a specific context for it. There is a way in which it requires your full attention and your full grappling. Like, I wonder if we're going to have a conversation that's very similar when virtual reality becomes a thing. Can, quote-unquote, virtual reality go viral, right? I think when you start thinking about things from a cognitive behavior perspective, you begin to get closer to the question of what we talk about when we talk about the structures of virality, what we talk about the infrastructure of virality versus the things that we're trying to squeeze into it, like square pigs into round holes. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, this is just me sort of freestyling at this point, but like I kind of feel like audio is inherently, the way audio is created right now at least, it's inherently towards the movie spectrum. Whereas when we talk about audio virality, we're hoping more for a tweet-like experience. And I think we lose something. I don't think that's why most people get into like audio, right? To create stuff that essentially becomes fire. But who knows? I don't know. I'm notoriously bad at reading human nature, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Alex.
Oh, just to piggyback, I think that's a really good point, and I think I remember reading maybe something you wrote in Hot Pot about that, Nick. I tend to agree that audio is much more like movies or TV shows. You know, if you were to ask like someone, you know, do TV shows go viral, they would probably say yes. And if you're like, you know, clearly Golden Thrones sort of captivates us, right, and has, maybe we call that, you know, viral elements, except it doesn't go viral in the same way. It doesn't get retweeted and flash up, but it has a large, dedicated, passionate following, which is much what we've seen with Serial, which I think is up to almost like 97 million downloads in total across all 12 episodes now.
Right, and it's really interesting when you talk about the fact that like Game of Thrones is not viral, right? Like the TV show is not viral, but the conversation around it, there's a certain quote-unquote virality to it. It's a stickiness to that conversation, and I think you can apply that thinking to Serial. Serial was not the thing that was viral. The conversations and the articles about Serial was viral. So I think from that perspective, like, we're kind of seeing the engines of how the infrastructure and the culture here works.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, actually. I mean, we product owners are really based on community, and the community is what drives everything. And if I was creating a podcast, I guess we kind of do, but it's sort of like a side project. If we were legitimately building a podcast, I would double down on community, honestly. I would really encourage what happened on Reddit, you know, with Serial, and create ways for the community to interact with each other. Have you seen, outside of kind of what organically formed around Serial, have you seen a lot of that happen where community assembles around podcasts, and where do they go?
So yeah, absolutely. I think so. The onus of whenever we start a new podcast, or whenever I'm talking to people who are interested in starting podcasts, it's kind of, you have one mentality that needs to be avoided at all times, which is like the distribution and the creation of the show are two different things. So when you talk about community, that the communities are coalesced around wherever the distribution points end up being, right? Like, if you create a website for the podcast, if you create a Facebook page for the podcast, if you create a Twitter channel, you have avenues for that community to interact with you and therefore grow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think from that perspective, like, you're absolutely right. I think communities is central to the way that podcasts grow and develop, largely also because podcasts are such an opt-in and lean-in experience, right? There are a couple of technology plays right now that are trying to make podcasts a lot more lean back, which I kind of feel is a complete misunderstanding of the way that piece of content and that medium works. But I think you're absolutely right. It's all about that community, man. You know this. Like, you made product content. It's all about that community.
Well, I have a bias, let's just say.
I think for me, this brings up two really interesting points. One is, and I totally agree with everything that Nick was saying, it's sort of, in over the next 5 or 10 years, what can we expect in terms of new podcasts to come to fruition? And I have a lot of thoughts here, but specifically with respect to community, I know like now Reddit has its own podcast, right? And like the way that's structured, yeah. I think it's Alexis Ohanian hosts it, and they just find like the most fascinating stories over the history of Reddit, and like track down those users and let them tell their stories. And I think that is amazing. I really like that. And I think that that's something that could be picked up by lots of other startups and companies, just for as one example. So like, I think Twitch would be great, because Twitch is doing so many innovative things. If you care at all about, you know, the streaming of video games and cyber athletes, you know, I'm sure there are all these fascinating stories that, you know, go around the office, and milestones that are hit, and new sort of like stars that are born, like things that would just make for great human stories, human interest stories in terms of a podcast. And then also, I think sort of related to that, you know, like what does it mean to be a podcast? I think that like the podcast itself it encompasses a lot, and it means direct things to certain people, but truly it's very like disorganized and broad. So for example, like there are TV shows that expose their audio as podcasts as well. So like one example that comes to mind is Real Time with Bill Maher. But like there are so many others that could do this and don't. And I think would make for really great listening, and wouldn't hurt the shows necessarily, because if you think about when you're listening to a podcast, in my opinion, it's probably not competing with when you're going to be watching a TV show. You typically, in my opinion, I found listen when, you know, you can't really be doing much else. You're driving, or you're cooking, or, you know, maybe you're cleaning or something like that. I think Nick might be an exception here. I remember I was listening to an interview with him on a different podcast, and Nick, do you listen to like 25 hours of podcast a week? Is that what you said?
do we begin at 25? I actually listen to a whole lot more than that. I'm actually scaling back, because like I miss television, so I'm trying to like diversify my media input at this point.
He's actually listening to a podcast right now. He's multitasking.
Well, yeah, I'm actually reading a transcript as you're talking about this, so you're not too far off. I think you're absolutely right. The interesting thing, though, is that as a person who's essentially now a quote unquote content creator of this space, like, it's lovely the fact that we are playing towards the gaps in the media consumption cycle. You know, commuting, cooking, in the shower, whatever. But I think the personal dream for me, at least, is to create a piece of content that, like, ends up dominating, being the center of your attention, right? The whole serial situation where you drop your iron, you drop the pot, you just run straight to the radio or, you know, laptop or whatever you're listening to the podcast from. You know, I think for the people who make content in this space, that's the goal. But for the actual, like, medium and industry as a whole, you're absolutely right. Like, it fills up this really interesting empty spaces that previously has not been capitalized upon.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I don't want to monopolize the conversation, but you just made me think of one thing. Like, I think Stephen Colbert is a really interesting, relevant example here because he created his own podcast leading up to the debut of his Late Show. And I really enjoyed it. I don't know what other people thought about it, but, like, he referenced, like, other podcasts. So he was, like, imitating Dan Carlin, Hardcore History, also another really good podcast.
So highly recommended.
And I noticed, I think that, like, what is it, like there's a, is it, there's some private podcast now where it's like comedians just imitating Dan Carlin now, which maybe was straightforward. I'm not sure. It's really funny. But anyways, but now I think the Late Show podcast is done because they're doing the TV show and they're putting the TV show out, you know, 5 days a week, 5 nights a week. And I don't know about you guys, but, like, as a younger person, like, I don't watch live TV. And even though I love the Colbert Report, or I love the Colbert Report and I like Stephen Colbert, I'm probably not going to be watching that show 5 nights a week, but I will be listening to podcasts. And it's like, if they expose the audio or maybe just, like, the interviews, you know, like, I've still been meaning to check out the Biden interview and I haven't gotten around to it. But if it was in podcast form, maybe I would. And I feel like it could bridge a gap, especially with younger audiences, in a way, perhaps that just only being on TV.
Same with Charlie Rose. I would love to listen to all of his episodes, but can't find him on Stitcher.
Yeah. And, like, the Actors Studio, I believe, like, with the interviews with Inside the Actors Studio, you know what I'm talking about?
Right. I forgot his name now. What's his name again?
Jim Parsons, is that it? I don't know.
Well, Eric, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, so you mentioned live video. What do you think about podcasting, how it relates to Meerkat, Periscope, and other live streaming services? There's some podcasters that are kind of incorporating some of those live elements and kind of this participation aspect with the community and the audience. But what are your thoughts on that, Eric?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it. We've experimented with it ourselves. I think there's a little bit of a tension. These aren't mutually exclusive at all, but a tension between making good live content and good content that lasts sometimes. And the live sometimes gets in the way. So I've seen people try and then, you know, try to, like, Meerkat their live, you know, streaming podcast or do something live and then try to, you know, have it for recorded. But on sites like Twitch or Rapt.fm or other, you know, no plug intended to my old startup, but there's, like, a difference between what's great in the moment and what's great, or there's a tension, and what's great, you know, beyond that.
Yeah. I mean, we recorded a podcast with Ben and Josh, Ben from Meerkat and Josh Ellman from Greylock. And we also, of course, Meerkatted it because we're like, oh, Ben's here. Meerkat just launched. And, I mean, admittedly, we completely ignored the live audience because we were too focused on the traditional, like, kind of podcasting kind of flow and us inside of a room. So it's almost like two different mindsets in many ways. Have you seen, Nick, have you seen anyone do it really well? Like, maybe a traditional podcaster use live video as a part of their content creation?
Well, it's actually really interesting because, I think at the beginning of podcasting, there, like, the audio sort of the show is created as from a live format and then they adapted it to podcasts as a means of distribution, like Twit, as in, like, This Week in Technology is a big example of that, right? Like, they actually have a full out studio, they live stream the video of it and then they release it as a piece of audio and distribute it through RSS feeds and podcatchers. And I think there's a company out there right now called Spreaker, with Speaker with an R after the P, that focuses on people who are doing live radio, live internet radio broadcasts, and then packaging that as a podcast to distribute later on. So I think that it's also, like, yeah, I guess we come back to the core question of what do we talk about when we talk about podcasts? You know, what exactly does that word mean? on the literal level, it is literally the idea of time-shifted audio, right? Like, a piece of audio, whatever, it's you can access it on demand, however you access audio on demand, bless you. And then we have sort of grown to adopt this cultural understanding of podcasting. I kind of feel like we're in the middle of like a cultural warfare when it comes to who wants to claim the term. There are people over in the sort of the technology podcast genre who are very sort of like angry that the conversation is being dominated by public radio vis-a-vis Serial and This American Life. We're all sort of like using the same distribution pool and distribution method, but we're all sort of attributing different cultural meanings to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is a circuitous way to come back to your original question. Just like, have I seen really interesting stuff with the live streaming podcast? I think they've always been there. And I think there's a whole bunch of shows that do adopt that format. And I think a lot of them have really sizable and good communities. Like Twitter's a major show. And so it I think to me, they're sort of the paragon of the form.
Yeah, I've been a longtime fan of Leo, and I've been watching him since back on the Tech TV days and everything. And so, he was actually on Product Hunt Live a few weeks ago. That was great. He actually did, he live streamed it while he was on Product Hunt answering questions, which he admitted was not the most compelling live video experience, watching him like type, but it was fun. And he's always super transparent and open, which is great. Cool. This is awesome to have you on, Nick. Is there anything you want to mention, anything you want to plug that you're working on?
Man, not in particular. Like, I'm working on a whole bunch of stuff all the time, but I'm going to right now just shill for the people who are actually paying paying me as a day job. check out Panoply podcasts. We work with publishers to produce really awesome sort of shows as offshoots of the things that they already produce on a day-to-day basis on the digital media websites. We have just launched a really great show recently called Getting In, which would chronicle the college admissions process in real time, following four high school seniors in the New York City area. Super fun, super ambitious project. I'm losing a lot of sleep over it. So please validate my lack of sleep by listening to the podcast. It's called Getting In. I'll chill for that. And good luck on the podcast channel. I'll be watching it. I'll be writing it up. And I'll be hoping that this fundamentally changes the game, because I don't know about you, but I got this into this game, for money. So really, whatever happens, if you can explode it to make it a $1 million industry, please, by all means, do it.
We'll try. And everyone, subscribe to Hot Pod. It's great. It's, if you search for it on Product Hunt, or what's the domain, Nick?
You should just go to tinyletter.com/hotpod, Tiny Letter being the newsletter service offshoot of MailChimp, which basically sustains 80% of the podcasting industry right now. That's the URL.
Nice. And Alex, when are you coming to SF next?
I don't know. Hopefully soon. Hopefully in the next month or two.
Nice. Well, enjoy the conference. Is that Saturday?
It is, yeah. Yeah, nice. It's actually very, I don't know exactly what to expect. It's hosted by This American Life, or co-hosted, but I think it should be interesting and very relevant to this very discussion, sort of what is the technology future of podcast.
Nice. Eric, anything you want to add?
No, I just want to say that, Alex was being modest in terms of when we reached out to him to get this job. Alex hit me up like 6 months ago with very long, detailed reports of the podcast industry, and repeatedly hit me up, and we were just blown away, and I think it's just an amazing story. And then he came and met us in person, and I think it's just an awesome story.
Thanks,
absolutely,
man.
And it's a common theme at Product Hunt. Like Eric, you mentioned you started Wrapped FM, and that's what you were working on right before joining Product Hunt. And Alex briefly mentioned that he started a podcast app called Nomad. And you worked on that for a while. So Andreas also started the company. Lucas did as well. We have a lot of former founders, a lot of people that built things or try to build things in certain spaces. And so it's awesome to have you on board.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm a big time fan. It was interesting when we were discussing all this. I have memories like this is actually probably the oddest use case of listening to a podcast, but listening to a Product Hunt Radio while like mowing the lawn a year ago. And now I'm on one. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty rad. Cool. Thanks for coming, guys.
Well, thanks.
All right. Take it easy.